If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We are just two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, about a block and a half to two blocks to the east of Tropical Trail, and about a block and a half south of Merritt Park Place, or Merritt Avenue in the old Merritt Park Place subdivision. We've got some exciting things that are taking place in that area, some development that is going on, and so we're very excited. We're believing that a lot more people are going to find out about this beautiful little area of Merritt Island. Used to be a residential neighborhood, but now there are kind of a mix of people who live there as well as businesses in the area, and we're excited about some of the new things that may be coming into that area in the near future. So today we're going to be spending the half hour we have together. We're going to start off in the Gospel of John. We're looking at the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. And I have hopefully done a better job of transcribing scripture references than I did on yesterday's program. I've checked and made sure that everything is good in that case, but we're excited about the Word of God. And you know, at the end of the program yesterday, I really felt like that there was a shift that took place in the spirit there, and that somebody's life was being impacted in a positive manner. There were some things that maybe had a hold on your life, and as the Word of God went forth, that some of those things were being broken, devastated, disarmed. You know, whether it's an addiction or a distraction, that those things would be loosed from your life, and that you would be sanctified and set apart for God. That's what Jesus did for himself, so that we could be sanctified. Listen, Jesus does not just act upon things for entertainment value. He doesn't do things for just no purpose whatsoever. There's a purpose. And so when he prays, God, I need my church to be sanctified by your truth, set apart for your holy purpose by the truth of God's word, that means that it's valuable. It is something that needs to take place. Sanctification should not be an optional thing in the body of Christ. It should be an internal driving force in our lives. And so I pray that if you missed that, go back and listen to it on the WMIE webpage. Scroll all the way down onto the bottom to the on-demand feature. Yesterday's date was April the 29th. Today's April the 30th. It's the last day of the month of April. That means one-third of 2019 is already on the books. I want to ask you, has there been much change so far? Have you improved any? And, I pray that if you haven't, that this will be a little nudge in the right direction. So today we're going to be talking about John, out of John chapter 1. We are going to begin reading in verse number 14. I'm going to read down to verse number 18. It says, "And the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So this morning, what I want to begin with as we move through this teaching on how does the Holy Spirit guide us in truth is that Jesus is full of grace and truth. A lot of times people want to be graceful, but not everything that they are going to communicate is going to be truthful. There are other people who want to communicate truth, but they don't want to do it in a graceful manner. These two concepts are not exclusionary of one another. Jesus embodied both of them. It says here in verse number 14, who was full of grace and truth. Jesus did not have just a limited supply. He operated at full capacity grace and full capacity truth. There are a lot of people that want to fixate on the grace of God. Thank God for his favor. Thank God that he blesses me with things that I do not deserve. I'm so thankful for the reality that we're saved by grace, saved by faith in the Son of the living God. Thankful for that. But there also needs to be truth. Sometimes we need people to speak truth into our life. And when they do that, it needs to be done in a graceful manner. Now, I'm not saying that everything is going to be nice and easy. Sometimes you need somebody to sit you down, look you in the eye, and say, "I love you. You're my friend. And here's the truth of the situation. And God's got a plan to move us from this place of problems to this place of victory." I'm thankful that Jesus didn't come just to commiserate with us in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm thankful that he didn't just come to wallow in our sins with us. I'm thankful that he came to destroy the works of the devil. That's the reality of it. I want to birth hope in you today because of the truth of God's word and the truth that was filling Jesus to capacity, that there is hope in your situation. Jesus is able to conquer every foe. Death is described as the last foe, and even that is going to be made a footstool for him. And so I know a lot of people, and they want to take the truth of God's word, and they just want to beat people over the head with it. And I remember hearing an article this goes back probably 15 years, and reading this article, and if I mentioned a person's name, you know, there would be a number of people who would rise up and say, "Well, he only preaches partial truth," and all of that sort of stuff. And there was a staff person that worked for this person. And when they were interviewing them, they said that in this day and time, there are people who need to hear the message that this person is preaching. And so we would have conversations with people in the community. And what I found is that there were a lot of hurting people who were they felt like there were a lot of people who were beating them over the head, and that the presentation of the truth wasn't done in love, and it wasn't done in a graceful manner, and it was making people feel worthless. I'm thankful that Jesus came, and he's a friend of sinners. It didn't mean that he endorses their sin. In fact, he would tell them, once the problem was resolved, go and sin no more. A lot of people don't remember that Jesus said that, but he did. He didn't come to empower you to stay in your sin. He came to give you victory over your sin. And so let's remember, as we are presenting the gospel in our community, that Jesus was full of grace and truth, and that message, grace and truth, came through Jesus Christ. Okay? That's Jesus was the vehicle that God used to communicate that to a world that desperately needed to hear about grace, and that there's favor that is available to God or from God, and that there's truth. In a day when everybody was lying and manipulating and stealing, Jesus came and he said, I got a whole different message for you, and that is, I'm going to tell you the truth. Thank God for that. If you flip over a couple of pages, you are going to find that when the Holy Spirit guides us into truth, it has a motivating factor in our life. This is when Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, came to Jesus. He came to him at night. And in verse number 18, it says, he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I want you to notice that it says everyone. Jesus is not one that speaks in hyperbole. He doesn't misspeak the way that I do sometimes. He says everyone practicing evil hates the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So he discusses the attitude that evildoers have towards the light, and exposes the motive that, you know, if they come to the light, they're going to be exposed. Verse number 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So the Holy Spirit, when he brings us into truth, it is a truth that is going to impact our activities. Truth is not just an intellectual, abstract concept. Truth is put into practice. Truth is an action plan. Truth compels us to come to the light. You know that the Holy Spirit is guiding you. The other day we talked about on a previous program that the Word of God comes in. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, sanctify them by your truth. I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified by your truth. There's an act, a move towards holiness. Well, when the Holy Spirit guides us into truth, it compels us to come to the light. I don't know if you've paid much attention to what happens to a light outside at night, especially around the time that it gets dark, but there are a lot of insects that get drawn to that light. And somebody said, you know what, I hate bugs. And so they developed a light that when the bugs were attracted to it, it would end up killing them. That's not what we're talking about here. What Jesus is talking about is we come out of the darkness into the light, because now we're not ashamed of the activities that we have done that we were trying to conceal from everybody else. Now we come into the light because we want people to see that the things that we do are done in God, by God, through God, and for the glory of God. You know, when people are dating, they put their best face forward. You know, they want to make sure that everything is presented in a manner that people don't necessarily know the less than glamorous sides of them. But I want you to know God knows all about that stuff. And he says, because of the truth, when you start to practice it, it's going to cause you to want to walk in greater revelation, greater illumination, greater exposure, so that people can see that God is at work in your life and in my life. One more chapter over in John chapter 4, Jesus is encountering the woman at the well, and he says in verse number 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So what I want you to see today is that when the Holy Spirit begins to guide us into truth, it's going to compel us to express the worship that God deserves. He deserves it not because of what he's done. He deserves it because of who he is. I don't know when was the last time you were ever in awe of someone? I talked to a friend recently, and this particular person wasn't in awe of an individual. They were in awe of an event that they got to go to, because it was like nothing they had ever experienced before. When the Spirit of truth begins to guide us into all truth, we begin to realize how much greater than we can comprehend God is. See, it is not a matter of whether or not God is holy. He's holy. It's not a matter of whether or not he's omnipotent, because he is omnipotent. It's not a matter of whether or not he's omniscient, which means he is everywhere. He is. He is available. He is available right where you are at. And when the Holy Spirit brings us into that realization, it ought to birth worship in us, where we are humbled to be in the presence of such an amazing, compassionate, and merciful God. And he tells this woman, it is not about a place. It's about spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? And so the truth about worship is not about whether it's a hymn or whether it's a chorus. I'm going to say that again. The truth about worship is not about whether it's a hymn or whether it's a chorus. For those of who are in favor of hymns, I will tell you that at one point in time there was a disagreement in the church about whether the song service was going to be a psalm or whether it was going to be a hymn. You know, they called it the Psalter. That was their songbook. It was psalms that were written to music, and they sang those. And then, you know, they started writing hymns. Martin Luther wrote "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Charles Wesley, John's brother, began to write songs, hymns that would accompany the worship services that they were having. It's not about that. It is not about whether it comes out of a book, out of the Psalms, or if it comes out of someone's heart. It is about worshiping God, and it needs to, if it's going to be true worship, you know, that's what Jesus said here. True worshipers, the Holy Spirit brings us to that place of authentic, genuine worship. it is going to be coming from a spiritual perspective. A lot of times it's, well, I don't like that song. Well, okay. So? Well, I don't feel like worshiping. Okay. So? Doesn't change the reality of who God is. Let's not elevate minor things to where they deprive God of the worship that he deserves and us of the privilege of worshiping. The word must is used here. They that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. But as the Holy Spirit guides us, it ought to be something that we want to do. I was talking to a person not long ago and invited them to church, and they had said that they didn't really go to church, and I pondered that conversation, and I realized that many people have a different understanding of church, and so let me see if I can share this in a manner. I'm not trying to offend anybody or anything like that. When I invite someone to church, it's not so that our numbers will look better, so that I can feel better about myself, that I pastor a larger church than I did. That's not the purpose of the church. The reality is, as body of believers, we need one another. And this particular person that I had this conversation with, and they said, I'm just trying to figure things out. Well, you know what? That's one of the things that God blesses us with, is with the church, is he helps us to see things and learn things from other people. And so what I came away from my review of that conversation was this: the church isn't here as a have to. The church is here as a wonderful opportunity and a blessing that God has provided to bless you. It's not about bless the pastor. It is about the church being a blessing to the individual, not only in what can be deposited into that individual, but also in the redemptive purpose that can begin to manifest in every individual. There's a redemptive purpose inside of you. There's a ministry inside of you. You're not there just to warm a seat or to write a check. There's a redemptive purpose that God created you for. One of those things is to worship. And I will tell you, there are a lot of times when we come together corporately for worship, and after worship, I feel like I have just taken a spiritual cleansing, and I feel so much better as the problems and the distractions fall away, and we're elevated into the presence of God, and Jesus establishes his throne, and he begins to utter words from the throne room of heaven. I tell you, even if I wasn't a pastor, I would still be in church. And I would thrive in church, because I recognize that the church is a place where we come together and we get to understand the value and the importance of worshiping together. So the Holy Spirit guides us into truth, and that is going to manifest in you are going to be a worshiper. You are going to worship him not just whenever you're in church and a song service, but you are going to be in the presence of God. John chapter 8, the verse I referenced yesterday in my bumbling and fumbling around the missed reference number. John chapter 8. Verse number 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So yesterday we talked about the importance of abiding in the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you today. This is the way. The Holy Spirit brings you to understanding in the Word of God. We are blessed with more access to the Word of God, more tools to help us understand the Word of God, more teaching that has ever been available to humanity in any point in time in history is available to you right now so that we can abide in His Word. And He says, the result of that abiding is you are going to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Satan comes to try and cast doubt on the Word, to undermine the foundation of your life. He accuses God of holding out on you. He accuses God of being this insecure individual who doesn't want anyone to operate with the knowledge of that God has. He wants us always, you know, living beneath that. All of those are lies from the pit of hell. The truth of the matter is that God wants you walking in spiritual relationship with Him. He wants to walk with you in a genuine, authentic, and true relationship. He wants you to understand that His plans for you are wonderful. Listen, heaven is not going to be a dump. Heaven is going to be a glorious place to where we can spend eternity with Jesus. What a wonderful privilege. That's the truth of who God is. When we know that truth, the truth will liberate us from the temptations around us, because we will see that those temptations have a price tag that is more expensive than what I'm willing to pay. The devil might present it as free. You know, we live in this day and time where everybody says, well, I'm going to give you this for free, and I'm going to give you this for free, and I'm going to give you this for free. Listen, there's only one thing that has ever been given to me that was free, and that was when Jesus gave me the free gift of salvation. And He said, if you will come unto me, if you will give me your life, I'll give you a life you never dreamed of before. Let's take Him up on that offer. Let's be set free today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."